deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where we hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
David Martin with Scare LA, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Matt Mayhem.
And Robbie Whiplash.
And we're from The Recently Deceased, and you're listening to
The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Laura Ivanova with Scare LA. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of The Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
Hey, this is Wednesday 13, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Denise Crosby from Pet Cemetery, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, I'm Dee Wallace from E.T. and Cujo, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Yeehaw, haunters. It's build season as well as recruit season here at the haunt industry. And, you know, with all the rebel flag controversy going on, we thought we'd stir it up just a little bit and send Badger down to Heavy Rebel Weekender in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Guess what? I bet there's a few rebel flags flying there. Anyway, he's going to be talking with the Creepazoids, Fright Barker and Sons, and the Recently Deceased. We got special correspondent Veister talking about Frankenstein. And Badger's going to talk with Scare LA, them city folks out on the West Coast, a little bit later on. We've also got Storm ranting on in a haunt minute. And the unknown scare actor is going to talk about some legend and lore crap I don't know. But just remember, you heard it all first on the big, scary, offensive, rebel flag flying podcast show, whatever it is.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at the Heavy Rebel Weekender for the Big Scary Show. Winston-Salem, North Carolina, checking out a lot of the great bands. About 90 of them, I think, this year, with all the classic cars, the mud wrestling, the guitar contests. And the cool thing about Heavy Rebel is you never know who you're going to run into, and you get to see a whole lot of new bands. About a third to half of them seem to be new this year. And here's one that I just was enamored with last night. A guy we had on the show a couple of years ago with the Memphis Morticians came up to me and was like, hey, man, we got a new thing going on. Check them out. They're called Fright Barker and Sons from New York by God City. Got a couple of them here. Let's see. We got Ugly, got DW, you got Erickson, Dave. Sorry, name escaped.
The Shark.
Got the Shark here. Guys, tell what the audience is kind of, how would you describe Fright Barker? I mean, you had horn section, you had rhythm, just... It was just a great party-sounding band.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's the kind of... You have to play off of the energy in the room. We like to bring a high energy to the set. But, you know, everybody's communicating on stage, and it's in the room. Everybody, we can feel it from them, you know? So it's a part... Like you said, it's a party sound. It's a party music. But it's rooted in a lot of different things. I mean, the rhythms that DW brings to it, there's an old-time rock and roll that is kind of undeniable. But then there's, you know, when you include horns and you give it that, you know, I mean, well, we all have a lot of different musical backgrounds, but you can connect on stage and make, you know, just put that put that kind of a tang on it in the room where everybody just feels good. And it's,
is that a word?
The tang?
The astronauts use it when they go into space.
Well, it's a kind of...
Well, I mean, it has a lot
it's a
of
kind of a
C.
zesty term.
It has
that,
vitamin C.
I don't know if I can use that on the radio.
It's a podcast. You can say
you can wipe your tang on it. Is G-fed kind of the way.
Now you're taking it somewhere else.
Well, anyway, you know what? Talk about tang. We got this record here. We got this 45 that you can hear that we're putting out. And it's tangible.
And it's beautiful.
It's tangible music.
Love the artwork.
That's digital. How did you make it make that sound
when it's digital? That's because of the team.
Post-edit we've done.
The team that's working with Fred Barker and Sons, is they're kind of magicians, so they can... They take the digital and they manifest it.
So you guys are all, you know, several different bands here representing. You know, I know Eric's in. But go ahead.
All right. Well, I play in the Brick Bats also, New York City horror rock band, and Psycho Charger. I'm part of their East Coast division.
Jimmy Psycho's been on our show many times. Great guy. Loves the show. You've heard the show driving down here before, so... You know, Eric's in here with the Memphis Morticians.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Still here. And other bands here from...
Yeah, actually, well, the Shark's quite a vocalist.
Engelhard's got his a handful of projects that he's working on.
Can we mention the fact that he's on mushrooms right now? Or is that illegal?
No, nobody is.
Oh, okay. Right.
Nobody is.
But you've all come together in kind of this one big mishmash of things, and you sing about scary stuff, which is kind of cool.
Well, the scariest part is that it's rooted in a lot of reality. I mean, when you talk about, you know, pregnancies and eating and drinking and buildings, I mean, that's the scariest part about life, right?
Sometimes reality can be even scarier than the horror that's out there represented.
Truth is a little more awkward than fiction sometimes, and you could just write about it. You know, we have a song about a vegetarian in our group. I won't go into names, but it's called Butcher Pete. And,
is that about me?
It might be about... the Pete that's in our band right now. But it could have been about any number of the other guys named Pete that I've ever performed with us. We have a rotating cast. They're all sons.
Can you let it be known that
even daughters are sons.
I am vegan, and I would only...
Do they make vegan alcohol for you?
There's a lot of vegans. Yeah, there's a lot of vegans.
It's vegan PBR.
Okay.
And I only butcher tofu.
That's not scary.
Oh, sorry. Can you edit that out?
No,
you can't edit it out.
This is live right now.
Oh, crap. All right. Sorry.
The scariest part about vegans is the odor that comes out of their bottom. I'm telling you, there's a gastric conundrum that happens with these people. It's so much more potent. Oh, what about the music? So,
and I can imagine riding in a van down here 13 hours or something like that can be kind of scary.
However long it takes for Robert Shaw to get down here in his van, then yes, it's quite a fearful odor that comes out of that. I'm sure Stephanie... where's she at? Stephanie! Oh, she's over there mud wrestling.
There
Stephanie, can you spare a minute? No, she's kicking ass in the pit.
In the pit. There we go.
Carolina Red Clay.
Now you're off base.
I'm out of touch. Anyhow.
So anyway, the Fried Barker set last night was great. You guys have any music out? We know you've got the 145 coming out, but any plans to go into the studio, record a full length, anything?
Yeah, we're releasing, in the coming months, we're going to release... the next few tracks. We're going to start to do e-commerce. We're doing a lot of festivals, so we're trying to make sure that...
You're not answering the question.
Yeah, we have music out there.
We already have 9 songs recorded. We just have to press them on actual vinyl.
Vegan vinyl.
Right. My new company, vegan
petroleum-based vegan vinyl.
Love that.
Sorry.
And we do a digital amyl nitrate download that is perfect for any of your needs.
So where are you going to be playing these festivals over, say, the rest of the summer into the fall? Where are you going to be
around? There's a handful of car shows that have turned us down because they weren't quite convinced that we were going to be family friendly. But there's this one place that trusts us, and it's America's largest outdoor music festival. It's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And it's called Music Fest, and it's been going on for 20 or more, maybe 30 years now.
They play music.
But no, I'm sorry, it's early 80s. They shut the historic town of Bethlehem down.
Tell him who we're opening up for.
We're opening up for Reba McEntire.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's not even a joke. Every single night.
How scary is that?
It's Reba's been very influential to me. I grew up on Cat Country, so That may be the most frightening part about your interview tonight.
You know, she called me, dude.
That's a heck of a revelation.
I've been reading Reba's unauthorized autobiography. And it mentions Erickson in Reba's unauthorized autobiography. Wow. Erickson used to do vegan catering for Reba McEntire when she became born again. But then he got fired because he was using some untoward.
Well, I put some pork and some bread, and she was mad, and that was it.
Well, anyhow, we're opening. We're warming the festival up for Reba McEntire.
Nice.
But that's our next big stop.
And what are the dates of Music Fest?
That's August 11th.
August 11th, yeah,
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a hell of an event. I mean, there's food, drink, music, art, and big acts every single night. But we're gonna warm up Reba McEntire, which is kind of an honor. When it's Poison, when you're warming up the day for Poison.
I've opened for Poison, thank you.
You did? With what act? Who were you playing with?
Playing with Cinderella, Faster Pussycat, and Poison, and one of my former bands about 10 years ago opened up for me in Charlotte at the big arena down there.
Wow.
Well, we'll talk about that off the air here.
All right, okay.
I do want to ask you guys one last question here. For people wanting to get more information on Fright Barker and Sons, more information maybe about the Music Fest, some of the music coming out, where can they get a copy of this absolutely brilliant and beautiful vegan 45 here? Do you have a website? Do you have social media? And where people can get more information?
We do. It's all under the name www.FrightBarkerAndSons. And then that's the .com. And everything else is under that same name. So
if you go Google Fright Barker and Sons,
yeah,
we'll
find
out all we need.
Some horrendous stuff.
So we'll get a lot of good tour information and maybe get a chance to purchase the download or the 45 and all that good stuff.
Miraculous tour information. The most inspiring information.
Aren't we playing on Letterman soon?
Letterman is not working anymore.
No? Oh.
Well, we're still playing the show, though.
I thought we were doing Letterman.
It's not going to be on the air.
Thank you, DW.
So anyway, breaking news, the one band that didn't get a chance to play with Letterman. But once again, I want to thank the guys here from Fright Barker and Sons here for talking to the Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger at the Heavy Rebel Weekender in Winston-Salem, and I am out. Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is. Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry, covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today.
Fright Barker and Sons, Backburner Gal, on the Big Scary Show.
Bad Bunny Gal. is my main squeeze.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with this news from Busch Gardens Hollow Scream in San Antonio, Texas, via Designing the Fear. Construction has come to a stop in San Antonio as construction crews have found a mysterious object in the ground. It's still too early to know what they found, but we do know what new mazes and territories will be at the 2015 event. The ICU, the Intensive Cursed Unit. Originally founded as a sanctuary for those inflicted with the curse, the physicians and staff charged with finding a cure have begun to behave a bit strangely themselves. Is there any escape from this terrifying affliction? Can you survive the curse? Pray, where the hunter becomes the hunted. Venture deep into the woods and feel your adrenaline start to pump. Faint lights, the sound of eerie whistling, or is your mind just playing tricks on you? Your senses are on high as you realize the hunter has just become the hunted. The Frightmare Forest. Deep within the forest, the corpse creepers emerge from the shadows to bring your worst nightmares to life. What these frightmares bring forth will have you hovering on the edge of terror. The Sea Oddities Sideshow, Clowns in Control. A circus has come to town and decided to stay, and now the Smiley Face Clown Gang has taken over. This twisted pack of carnival misfits seeks to terrorize anyone who dare enter their realm of terror. The Psychopath. The asylum walls have never been able to truly contain the mayhem found inside. Patients now run freely on the path, spreading the curse to whomever comes their way. The Ports of Skull. Known the world over as a crossroads of the damned, this raucous and rowdy port town's inhabitants are dying to meet you. Vampire Point. The disturbing, grotesque, and outright terrifying collide as the world's most frightening urban legends descend on this decaying town for a night of terror. Shamu's Rockin' Creep Show. Hosted by Jack O'Lantern, this high-energy Halloween-themed Shamu show will send shivers up your spine. Join Jack, our animal trainers, and of course, Shamu, as they put a new twist on some Halloween favorites. And Jack is back. A great way to end your Hallowscream experience, this show features Jack, along with his minions and minionette dancers, and more than a few ghoulish surprises in this song and dance spectacular. Don't miss this show under our main arch as the park is closing. To find out more about Hallowscream San Antonio, or to purchase tickets, visit seaworldparks.com/en/seaworld-san-antonio/Hallowscream. We have this news from the Fear Town haunted attraction in Seekonk, Massachusetts. Fear Town is one of the most unique haunted events in New England, and we're looking for enthusiastic and energetic people to entertain and terrorize our customers this October season. Whether you're a seasoned haunter or brand new, if you love Halloween and scaring people, we want to hear from you. We are primarily looking for actors to work in the haunted house. Acting experience is not required. However, we do also have makeup artist and general staff positions available. All positions are paid. To apply, visit peoplefear.us. We have this update from Wednesday 13, Halloween weekend in London, in the UK. Two nights, two different shows. Friday, October 30th and Saturday, October 31st, Halloween night is sold out. We will be celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Transylvania 90210 on Halloween night, playing the album in its entirety. Tickets for Friday night's show are going fast. Get them before you can't. With support from Evil Scarecrow, meet and greet packages are available at store.officialwednesday13.com. And ticket info can be found at www.livenation.co.uk/artist/Wednesday-13-tickets. We have this story on a zombie-themed Walking Dead cruise. Taking a vacation with a cruise ship full of zombies sounds like the premise of a blockbuster Hollywood film,
but it will be a reality for those who get aboard the Norwegian Pearl in January of 2016. In a partnership with Norwegian Cruise Lines, Festivals at Sea Marketer Sixthman, and Walker Stalker Con, the normal cruise ship will be transformed into a playground for fans of the hit television series and comic book, The Walking Dead. According to Sixthman, the zombie-themed cruise will sail from Miami to Nassau, Bahamas for 3 days of horror-filled fun, scheduled for January 15th through the 18th, 2016, aboard the Norwegian Pearl. Passengers will interact with actors from The Walking Dead, attend Q&A panels, have a photo opportunity and autograph sessions, zombie gaming, costume contests, theme nights, and much more to be announced. Some of the celebrities already signed to appear include Norman Reedus, Chandler Riggs, Emily Kinney, Sonequa Martin-Green, Chad L. Coleman, Christian Serratos, Lawrence Gilliard Jr., and Ross Marquand. But there could be more added as this cruise gets closer. Sixthman released a video on its official YouTube page celebrating the journey. Add in the fact that all the meals aboard the Norwegian Pearl are complimentary, and all of the onboard amenities are included in the ticket price, and the 2,200 fans expected to board the ship will be treated to a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The special cruise is already accepting pre-sale bookings, and the first 1,000 guests who book during the pre-sale will receive a limited-edition lithograph signed by Norman Reedus. For booking information and details about the cruise, check out the Voyage's official website, www.walkerstalkercruise.com. We have this news on a remake of The Birds. Alfred Hitchcock's film The Birds told the story of a rustic seaside town that finds itself menaced by hellish flocks of seagulls and crows. Now the 1963 classic looks set to suffer its own form of molestation, courtesy of a Hollywood remake by Transformers director Michael Bay. Loosely adapted from a 1952 short story, The Birds cast Tippi Hedren in the role of Melanie Daniels, a San Francisco socialite who comes horribly unstuck on a visit to Northern California. Reports suggest that Bay's version will return the tale to its original English setting, while Naomi Watts is rumored to be considering the role of Hedren's. Variety reports that the film will be directed by the Dutch filmmaker Diederik van Ruijen, with Bay serving as co-producer. It remains to be seen whether the birds will be giant man-eating birds or possibly armed with guns. On hearing the news, Tippi Hedren appeared to be unimpressed. Quote, "Why would you do that? Why?" she asked. The Big Scary Show will continue to follow this story and bring you updates as we get them. And finally, we have this update from Chicago Frights. If you're like the most of us in the haunted attraction industry, you may be in a great costume on Halloween night, but you're working rather than enjoying the holiday. So what do? You enter the Chicago Frights Costume Party, sponsored by Froggy's Fog, an off-season, once-in-a-year opportunity to get your Halloween fix at a rockin' party. Join haunt owners, actors, makeup artists, and Halloween fanatics from around the world for a ghoulishly fun night of networking and haunting fun. Included in your ball ticket are heavy hors d'oeuvres, party favors, prom photo, DJ, and dance floor to keep the party atmosphere. Free beer sponsored by Froggy's Fog and free soft drink sponsored by Von Caron Productions. A cash bar is also available. Costumes are suggested but not required. However, please dress nicely for this upscale event. Spouses and family are welcome to join the fun, and even if you can't make the conference, you can attend the Chicago Frights Costume Party. Note, proper ID is required to be served alcohol. The Chicago Frights Costume Party is the social event on the haunting calendar, so the only truly horrifying thing that could happen is if you miss out on this spooktacular night. For more information, call 972-951-5100, email chicagofrights@gmail.com, or get your tickets and more information today at www.chicagofrights.com. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
in a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, that music, of course, signifies it is time for the Round Table of Terror. Well, you know, it's high summer. The convention season has, for the most part, wound down. Still got Chicago Frights coming up very, very soon. Scare LA is coming. Some horror cons around the country. We're in what we like to call build and recruit season. All the haunts out there hopefully are building and modifying their trails and getting their inspections done and codes and cutting trees and hauling garbage, getting rid of wasp nests, all that garbage, and of course hiring actors. Well, you know, we've got a lot of acting background with the four Gahosts. One works at a haunt, one owns an acting troupe, teaches, I teach. The haunt instrumentalist also has acted at haunts and also makes music. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about how to survive at the haunt experience. I guess for first-time actors coming in, you don't know what to expect, or if you got a volunteer haunt, one of the hardest things is retaining good actors. You know, it's the fall, it's football season for a lot of people, and, you know, how do you recruit good people that are going to stay? How are you going to keep them? How are you going to keep them safe? How are you going to keep them away from, you know, the drunks and all that stuff that invariably will come through your haunt? So we're going to talk a little bit, just the host today, about kind of surviving and being safe and working that acting angle with the haunts. Of course, the four hosts consist of Storm.
Greetings.
The Unknown Scare Actor.
Maybe.
I have no response to that. The Haunstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
High season. Is that what they call the states that now have legal marijuana?
That, or if you're at the, or if you were at the Grateful Dead concerts in Chicago this couple of weeks ago. My name is Drew Badger down in Charlotte. Everyone's gearing up for haunts, gentlemen. The Unknown Scare Actor owns an acting troupe. Storm, I know you guys are probably, if not already, starting or getting ready to recruit and hire new people. And, you know, I'm waiting for the patiently by the phone for a few haunts to hire me for this summer or this fall. So let's start with recruiting, guys. Jim, I mean, what are some of your criteria when you're looking for actors to even, you know, join your acting troupe?
Well, one of the criteria that I'm looking for is not just experience, but it's enthusiasm. As you guys know, this business we work in has to have a certain level of enthusiasm to work. So my actors are all experienced, and I keep looking for more experience, but the love of Halloween kind of overrides that because I can work with it.
How about you, Storm? I know, do you have any part in the hiring process?
A little bit. A lot of things I help with. One of our major recruiting items in, we work the local fair. It's pretty much the state fair for Rhode Island, Washington County Fair. I also will direct things to our director and hiring through the social media. You know, a lot of times you'll see people pushing for that at the time of the haunt. I mean, you've already cast, you've already got a backlog list and everything. So, you know, it's tough. And a social aspect where you first meet the people and have a application for them to fill out is helpful. I've always found that, you know, if they're not going to take the effort to fill out an application, get it to you and do that, you know, are they going to give you any type of effort during the season? Are they going to be the no-call, no-shows first time that they, you know, got a little sniffle, got a little tired, oh, I was out late hanging with the other haunters because it's such a fun night, I don't need to go on Sunday, somebody else will show up. You know, that gets an idea, and you can sit there and talk to them and find out if it's passion or if it's just, ooh, this sounds like something fun, and I want a Halloween party every weekend in October. You know, you can start weeding that out, and you can really start getting a feel, you know, between that, who's there to party, who's just creepy in the wrong way, and, you know, it's a business, it represents you. You got to keep that in mind, too. You know, the six-foot really scary guy, sometimes they're really a six-foot really scary guy for a reason, and, you know, as much as the scene would look cool, you might not want that person hanging around some of your patrons and stuff. If you have the means and ability to do it, I always recommend some type of background check, too. You know, not necessarily are you expecting felons or issues with people assaulting stuff, but, you know, you look throughout the year on how many haunts get robbed. And that's, you know, people hitting them for the big stuff. Every season, if you've been working with actors and you bring in outside actors to do it, I mean, not like an outside group, but like, you know, these are people who just show up for that year, you hire them, and then, you know, you end up not seeing them again. Stuff walks off, too. So if you have the ability to do some background checks and, you know, larceny and stuff pops up, might not be your first choice.
You can't argue with that. I mean, I was sitting here thinking while you were saying, is there some such a thing as too creepy to work in a haunted house? And I guess there actually could be.
Oh, yeah, no. People, we've had them where you get that vibe from them, where it goes from, you know, oh, this is someone who'll look great in a haunt, to like, this person, I feel uncomfortable around them. And, you know, one time our director had that feel with one of these people who came up and talked to us at the fair and stuff. And, you know, he said, is as a joke, somebody else recruited him, gave him an application and stuff, and just had that bad feel. I mean, he looked the part and everything, but you just got that feel, and talking with him and stuff, something wasn't right. And his background check did not come out good from what I've been told. So, you know, sometimes your gut feeling and being able to talk with someone even for 5 minutes will give you that gut feeling, and you can avoid some issues in the end.
Jim, how about you? When you when you're out there and you get that guy who's got that passion for him, do you have some kind of audition process or some kind of a procedure to determine whether or not that person, passionate as they may be, may or may not be appropriate for your acting troupe?
Well, right now, if it's somebody that's knows somebody that's in my group, then I put it to the group. I had an actor last year that, quite frankly, didn't cut the mustard. There were some legal issues that made me nervous, so I had to cut him. But moving forward, any actors that have approached me have been, I've brought it to the group. And I've done a group consensus. I retain the final decision, but I like to listen to everybody's opinion.
Sure, that makes sense. I mean, after all, they're the ones that have to work with each other and all that.
And it helps, too. I mean, you know, one of the biggest things and stuff that everybody feels with haunting, and, you know, you see it at the convention and stuff, it's a community feel. You know, this is a group. When you come back in September and you have your auditions or you have your first day where you're bringing even veterans actors back, you know, it sort of feels like a family reunion. And, you know, same with conventions and stuff. When we go to them, it's like, I haven't seen you in a year, but, wow, we sit down and talk like it's been yesterday. And it's getting that feeling, that community feel, and, you know, people who will vibe together, people who can work a scene together, people who can depend upon each other, you know, emergency situations, dealing with drunk patrons, dealing with sets and problems coming up, just being able to hold the scene if it doesn't work well the first weekend, being able to come up with new ideas and bounce off of each other and get that flow. I mean, we've all been to a haunt or had a haunt where just something is clicking. The lights, the atmosphere, the music, and the actors. And something is clicking that brings that scene above and beyond anything you could hope for. And all that energy goes up, and you see the actors working off each other. That they, you know, have this, that they don't even need to plan, and they know how to work the audience, how to get people distracted so that another actor can come up and scare them. And, you know, that's developed over time, but that's also feeling it out and getting a group of people who can work together.
Cool. Jerry, I know you haven't worked at professional haunts for very long. Actually, just I can only think of two times you've done it. You may have done it some more, and that was during Midwest at Scaratorium. I mean, and it was basically Kelly just came up and asked you to work. Was that right?
Yeah. It was literally a message saying, hey, you want to guest act at the Scaratorium during the bus trip? And that was all it was, you know, and I came in not knowing anything. I mean, if I was any greener, you could call me Kermit.
Ribbit.
But, you know, it definitely, you know, from my perspective end, it was a challenge, and it was, you know, both. You know, you and Jim gave me a lot of good pointers and every what to do and what not to do, and it definitely was difficult, figuring out what to do there. And the other actors that were in my area were helping out, but it definitely is a learning experience. It can be daunting at times too, you know, because being new at this, I didn't know what to expect. You know, can I do this? Can I scare someone? No.
And of course, you're in front of a bunch of haunters going through. So
yeah, as opposed trying to scare a haunter is about as stupid as me trying to tell Joe Satriani how to play.
Yeah, but you gotta admit, Jerry, that you scared the hell out of a lot of people last year at MHC.
Last year was different. The first year, the first year I just kind of went, okay, I'm just going to try to throw them off for the next scene, and, you know, threw a bunch of one-liners out, and it worked. For this year, for when I acted last year, I had a little more knowledge of what I was doing, thanks to, you know, seeing what Jim was doing in his area, because he and Chris were in the room in front of me, and you know, going to a lot of the haunts, it gave me a little more perspective of what trying to do.
And people really thought this verse was really creepy.
Still do, actually. But I just want to remind everybody out there, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror with the four co-hosts on the Big Scary Show. We are talking acting, actors, for especially new actors, recruiting, and figuring out how to keep them on your staffs. We're going to drop a commercial here real quick, let you listen to some very important information, and we'll be right back.
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, make Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre. job to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror, talking acting, keeping your actors, recruiting them, keeping them safe, all that good stuff. Just the co-hosts tonight. And a question that I don't know the answer to. Storm, do you pay your actors or are they volunteers?
No, we pay. A lot of haunts in the Northeast are pay. Just nature of the beast, nature of cost of living. You know, areas where it's higher cost of living, you're going to see... You know, most of your commercial haunts having to pay just to be able to retain and go with it. Also depends on your local laws and how your state's worked up.
Sure. Because my question is, for those haunts out there that have volunteers, a lot of nonprofits, a lot of charity haunts, a lot of home haunts that, you know, call on a few friends and they bring a couple of friends, how do you keep them there, especially those that get drugged to the haunt by their friends? Oh, come on, you're going to love it. This is the greatest job ever. And then halfway through the night, they're like, you know, screw this, I'm leaving. And they leave. It's not like you can fire them or you're not paying them anyway. So how do you keep and retain actors through the entire season, much less the first night or two, especially if it's, you know, extra cold or extra hot, depending on where you're in the country, or, you know, rains or something like that?
Perks, benefits, comfort. You know, thinking of the actors, making sure, reassuring them, you know, hey, you're doing a good job, that type of thing. One of the haunts I worked for originally, our wardrobe ladies would go through, and they'd just have a couple of big crock pots going, and it was very inexpensive. It's your frozen broccoli, some Alfredo sauce, some noodles, our night to be, ramen noodles and stuff, and they put those in styrofoam cups. And in the middle of the night, they'd come through with that. And, you know, on a busy night, especially if it was cold, that was still the best tasting stuff ever. It was that comfort came through, gave you a couple minutes. Hey, oh, here's a break. I know I can take a breather. I'm going to eat these noodles for a couple minutes. And that sticks with you. Then after that, you know, it's doing stuff for the groups. You may not be able to pay and run a payroll or something. That doesn't mean you can't have a party. That doesn't mean, you know, in January you can't do a bowling night with your actors. That kind of stuff resounds. That builds a community, but it also is that comfort, that perk, that benefit, which brings good talent back.
It reminds me back the last haunt we did at Legendary when we were at Haunt Overload sitting around the fire. It's, what, 45 degrees, if that. Sipping hot beverages and just enjoying the camaraderie. You know, that was the best tasting hot beverage I'd had in a long time just because of the atmosphere and all that. And I could see bringing around a cup of chili or noodles, Alfredo, something or other. That's a great idea. You know, I've always said if you feed them, give them a T-shirt or a hat, you're going to keep some actors all season.
Broccoli Alfredo, Beth. Ugh. God,
all right, Jerry, it might not
I can't stand the smell of broccoli and cauliflower. So Alfredo broccoli, ugh.
Not all of us have, you know, refined haunt rocker palates.
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, refined my ass. Give me a beer, I'm good.
Jerry buys the gourmet hot dogs.
That's Nathan. Right. I go for the brats.
And the wheat buns.
Actually, Jerry brings up a good thing there, which... you know, can be the opposite of the good intention with it, and that's something like allowing your actors to drink. There are haunts and stuff that have done that, and that's where it becomes a party. That's when it becomes you have a broken set. You know, that one of the things coming into one of the haunts I've worked at was before it was, all right, everybody's friends work there, and everybody looked the other way during the show with them drinking and stuff. And, you know, as the show gets bigger and stuff, maybe you can get away with that with a couple people because you're not going to notice, you know, 10% of the people not wanting to come back or, you know, your actors breaking the sets. But when you're investing more into it and you're having that camaraderie, and it's not just a little clique of friends, that can get there. So it is a balance. You want your actors to feel comfortable, to feel welcome, to feel themselves, but you also don't want them to take the mile with that inch of comfort. Sure. You still have to show, you know, show authority, show that they respect, and it is a balance. But remember, they're actors. This is their art. You know, we all do haunting, and we have a healthy artistic ego. And you can feed into that. And it's feeding into that ego sometimes will keep them coming back, keep them in contact, even if they can't do it a season or two. You know, you have that really good actor and something comes up, they can't do it that season. If you have a good relationship with them and they feel that comfortable with it, you can get them back in 2 years. And that's the point where you're showing you're doing something right. When you can pull somebody back, when, oh, it wasn't the same last year, I got to go home, I got to come work at your haunt. And it is. I've had actors where they want that bigger scare. So they're yelling, they're slamming stuff into the scenes and just beating up the scene and breaking stuff. And I one little trick, and you tell them, you're a better actor than that. You don't need to be slamming stuff for the scare. You're better. You're scarier. You're the best goddamn actor in this state. I know you can do it. Figure it out. You don't have to be slamming things and blowing it up. And I had an actor pick up a Ziploc baggie that was on the floor, and he started creeping up next to people and just squishing the Ziploc bag in his hand, and it was creeping people out. He's like, Storm, oh my God, you're right. I mean, this, you know, I was used to slamming stuff against it, but this little bag, I was getting better scares because, you know, no matter how much an actor can be a headache one night, they're going to have those creative juices, which can take whatever you give them to the next level.
Sure. And that kind of goes into if you're slamming stuff around, you might be knocking wall panels loose. You might be knocking screws loose. Might come exposed. And there you've got the unsafe conditions. It only takes one paying customer to get punctured because they were scared against a wall when you jumped out. And that wall that you've been beating all night, and all of a sudden they get scratched or cut or bleeding because of a screw or a nail or a splinter or something, and all of a sudden they're on the phone to their lawyers saying, oh, I'm going to sue you guys because you got an unsafe haunt. So, you know, you don't need to do that, like you say.
And even 9 times out of 10, it's more the safety of the actors, which can sure. become an issue and stuff. And sometimes they push for those scares. You know, another good thing is having rehearsals, making sure everybody knows where everything is in the day, where emergency switches are, where stuff, you know, goes out. If a light goes out or something, they're trying to look for a plug. If they're not familiar with their scene, they're going to knock things over. They're going to get caught on stuff. And unfortunately, there have been incidents over the years where an actor, you know, thinks he's doing something scarier. And, oh, there's this fabric hanging down. What if I hang from it? And they slip. And we've had actors across the country who have, you know, been seriously injured, some fatally, because they've tried to do that one extra thing. And, if I hang from this fabric, which I pulled down and ripped down to look scarier, I'm going to be scarier. And, you know, people have lost their life with accidents like that.
One of the things that I've always strived to just nail into people's heads, in fact, it's the first thing I teach in my workshops, is safety. And you just can't stress that enough. In the litigious society we live in, it just takes one person getting hurt, whether it's an actor, whether it's a customer, and you may be shut down the rest of the season, if not forever. Jim, with your actors, have you had any incidences or unsafe things or worked in a place that was just blatantly unsafe? I know we've gone through some haunts during MHC. I know Jerry can vouch for this, where we're like, I don't know how this haunt stays open with some of the stuff they do. But have you run into anything with the acting troupe?
Well, I will say that the haunts we worked last year were all pretty safe, and I was fortunate enough to take my actors there before we performed. So they got the lay of the land. They knew where the safety issues were. They knew where the emergency exits were. So I didn't have any issues. I mean, we worked at Indy Scream Park. We worked at Dungeons of Delhi. We worked at Scaratorium. And they were all pretty safe. So I didn't have any issues last year.
What would you say was probably the biggest concern you've got for your actors? Is it a drunk patron? Is it, you know, twisting a leg if they're running around on a trail and, you know, stepping on a root? Or is it, you know, basic scratches or malfunctioning prop or anything that you really have been to a haunt and seen and said, you guys need to be extra careful about this?
I would have to say the drunk patron. And all of my actors have been trained and versed on how to deal with that.
Nice. And you always have to refer back to what the owners of the haunts do. You know, what do you as a haunt owner do when you've got drunk patrons coming through? Because, you know, we've all seen them. We've seen them in the queue lines. We've seen them gone through the haunts. We've had to deal with them. I've had, you know, patrons try to take props out of my hand. I've had them throw objects at me. I've been spat upon and cursed at and scared someone's girlfriend, and they get into your face and all that. And it's just stuff that it comes with the territory, but you've got to know how to handle that stuff.
And, you know, with the larger actors like myself, it's easy to diffuse the situation.
Oh, sure.
Actually, you know, sometimes that actually can work against you, because there are times when you have people with the alcoholic courage. If they see a larger actor, sometimes I've had them try and pick fights with that actor. Now, the size doesn't matter, because that's how inebriated some of them can get. And sometimes during the thing, our owners are good with looking out. If there's somebody who just is not in shape, they'll pull them off. Let's say you're done. Other times we'll have managers and even myself, you know, past few years I've been doing slip masks so that I can pull that off. I got glasses, a hat on, and I can follow a hayride or follow a group through the walkthrough. And that way you got management watching out for the actors. We'll give warnings ahead of time. Say, guys, back off. This group's been partying a little heavy, so let's see how they react the first couple of times. But don't be afraid to back off with the group and just see how they react and everything. Don't go full bore on them, because it might not end well, and, you know, we don't need that. Your safety is paramount. Another thing I want to mention before I forget is the single best safety tool, as you as an actor, a manager, an owner, as anyone, you know, working at a haunt and there, is the LED flashlight. The little $2-3 ones that work off of three AAA batteries. They fit in your pocket. They got some which are, you know, the size of your thumb now. That is the best thing you can have on your person as an actor. It gives you a little sense of security holding something metal and heavy in there. If somebody, you know, starts swinging fists, you know, you can deflect a lot easier, and you got something in your hand to do it. If someone acts up, you know, even on hayrides or on a trail, you just light them up. That little, you know, six LED lights in their eyes, when they're drunk, their eyes will not contract. And they cannot see you. You can go into your regular voice. I know people will say, don't break character. When it's a safety issue, safety of your patrons or your stuff around that, sometimes you got to do it. I mean, the person being drunk and acting like an a-hole is ruining the show a lot more than if you're not being a zombie for 2 seconds to pull them aside and tell them, hey, you're done, or, hey, you got to stop now. These are actors. It's safety. I will pull you out there. And even if you have a police duty out front, I've done that before. I've had even little kids start, you know, getting grabby and punchy even with me in the queue line. Light them up with that flashlight, pull them off aside. Half the time their parents are God knows where. You know, sometimes they'll drop them off. You know, we become Trails of Terror babysitting service.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
But if you have a, you know, traffic duty officer out front, you know, with the cop car and the lights going, you're paying for that. Use it to your advantage. You know, they're not there to arrest your patrons. And, you know, as a haunt, a business owner, you're not going to press charges. You scam off the property and stuff. But you can point that out. And the punk kid or the drunk, when you go, hey, you're done. You're not doing anything more. I see you even looking at an actor sideways. Your next conversation is with that officer. If they got any sense to them, and if they're not completely obliterated, that you need to pull them off the property anyway, they become a model patron for the rest of the night.
Jerry, I know we're going to start winding this down here, but I just wanted to ask you, as a person who has not acted that much, have you ever felt unsafe or felt that there was, even with the convention crowd going through the haunts that you've worked at, has there ever been a time where you were like, I'm just kind of uneasy around this one person that's going through?
Just once, the first year, that was, 2012, I think. Well, my first time when I was the Hillbilly Cannibal, there was one member of the industry whose name I will not repeat, mainly because I can't remember the damn thing. But this guy was a complete drunk ass, and it got to the point where he wouldn't leave the room. He was getting into the sets and trying to check how things are, you know, done and everything. And he turned around and looked at me. And he goes, "Vane, don't quit your day job." And you know, and then he looks at his buddy. He goes, "This guy thinks he can act." He goes, whatever. And I'm just like, I don't remember what I said to him. I said something in response, in character, that just – he stopped dead in his tracks and looked at me, and his buddies lost it. I don't – I wish I could remember what the hell I said, but all I remember is the look on his face was just complete shock that I even responded. But I kept it in character. It wasn't vulgar. It wasn't anything like that. But that was the only time where somebody was an ass, and I fired it back. And then there was Storm who came through and gave me his Bill Cosby pudding pot look, and I lost character completely.
No. I don't need to be compared to Bill Cosby or Donald Trump currently.
Okay, Bill Trump. Donald Cosby? No?
Sure.
And on
that's a good point and something good to close with too. You guys are doing this every night. You're working with every group that's coming through there, whether you're a manager, whether you're security, whether you're an actor, whether it's your first night on a scene or it's your, you know, 1,000th night on a scene. You're in control of the situation. Your patrons coming through, they're in unfamiliar territory. You just have to assert your authority, assert that you know. And you can make it a safe environment. You can make it safe for that patron, the ones who can come through drunk or think they're going to make trouble, safe for your other actors, and safe for everybody else around there. You're the one in the key position to do it. Stay smart, stay safe, know your surroundings. And, you know, when you're waiting in between groups, always analyze and think, hey, how could I have handled this better? Hey, if that person reacted differently. Don't be afraid to talk to your owners and managers with it. And when you go to these conventions, talk to other haunters. They're going to experience stuff you and give you new ideas, like this roundtable today. Hopefully, everybody's taken away something from this going, hey, that's a good idea. I wish I'd known that for last season. I handled it well, but this would have made it easier.
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to look at the clock and say it's time to get out of here because we all have things that must be done. Some of us are building. Some of us are working on workshops. Some of us are composing new music for haunts. We won't mention who that is. But anyway.
I'm drinking a beer. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I am going to have the neatest 16-bit haunt album ever.
Jerry, you're not more than 5 feet away from a guitar. I'd bet $100 right now.
Try not even a foot.
As I said. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for talking to us on the Roundtable of Terror about acting and recruiting and safety. Arguably the most important part of the haunt is safety. So please be safe out there. Support your local haunts. And I want to thank our guests, including, well, our co-hosts, including Storm.
If you work outdoors, wear steel-toe shoes. The myth that it cuts off your foot is a lie.
The unknown scare actor.
My catchphrase, everyone is afraid of something.
The haunts
wanted to do that with the echo.
That'll go into edit. The Haunster medalist, Jerry Vane.
I like cats.
And bunnies. And my name is Drew Badger, reminding you, if you do want your actors safely trained and everything, you can always give me drop me a line at rabbitbadger.biz.
Hey, wait a minute. What is this with the free plug here?
And on that note, we've got to go, so.
Punk ass.
Trails2terror.com.
This is JerryVane.com.
Mallmonsters.com.
Here on The Big Scary Show. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the July Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. You know how this works. I'm about to ask you a question. The answer is in the show. If you think you know it, email us your name and number to contest@bigscaryshow.com, and you just might be a winner. So, without further ado, here is the July Gruesome Giveaway question. The Creepazoids said they were playing two major festivals this summer. Name one of them. If you think you know the answer, email us your name and number to contest@bigscaryshow.com. Again, before midnight on July 21st, we'll pick a random entrant, and you just might be the winner of the July Gruesome Giveaway. And once again, thank you, Screamline Studios, for restocking our prize vaults at the Midwest Haunters Convention. So go to screamlinestudios.com and check out all their great stuff. Get those entries in, folks, and good luck.
Where do some phobias come from? Is it fear of the known or fear of the unknown? Some fears are passed down from generation to generation based on nothing but legends and lore. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Well, for this installment of Legends and Lore, we are going to head over to the state of New Jersey and talk about the Jersey Devil. And my information comes from a book I picked up recently called Monster Hunt, The Guide to Cryptozoology. Well, they're telling us the Jersey Devil hails from the most rural area in the most densely populated state in America. Commonly described as having the head of a horse, the face of a collie dog, the wings of a bat, the body of a serpent, and the legs of a crane, and the cloven hooves of a deer, the Jersey Devil sounds like a very strange hodgepodge indeed. However, far from being comical, eyewitnesses say that the creature is frightening. And the strange hissing noises and piercing screams it emits strike fear into the hearts of all who hear it. Strange though the creature sounds, and it certainly doesn't resemble any known animal, living or extinct, there are plenty of eyewitness encounters. In one of many eyewitness encounters, a husband and wife reported to authorities that the creature had walked around outside their home. Police officers subsequently filed reports of shooting at it, but without causing it any harm. In another encounter, a Trenton County Council member reported hearing a strange hissing noise outside his door late one night. When he opened the door, he found cloven hoof prints in the snow. In fact, hoof prints seem to be something of a theme in the sightings of the Jersey Devil. When a German Shepherd was found torn to pieces about 20 feet from where it had been chained, hoofed footprints surrounded the dog's body. In another account, a telephone repairman was working in a remote part of the Pine Barrens near Pleasantville when a creature fitting the description of the Jersey Devil chased him up a telephone pole. He stayed trapped up the pole until a co-worker arrived. He too saw the creature and allegedly shot it in the wing, but it escaped into the surrounding woods. The legend of the Jersey Devil turns out to be a local legend that dates back to the 18th century. An English woman named Moaz Leeds, or Mama Leeds, had married a Pine Barrens businessman. After bearing him 12 children, she was dismayed to be pregnant with her 13th. She cursed the unborn child, saying, "I don't want any more children. Let it be a devil." When the child was born, it was horribly deformed. The horrific newborn spread its wings and made its escape through the chimney into the nearby woods, from where it began its reign of terror. Interesting. I've heard a lot of stories about the Jersey Devil over the years. I'm not quite sure I go with the legend of Mama Leeds, but beyond that, interesting. Maybe we should send Storm out there to check it out. I know it's not the Chupacabra or anything, but you know, Storm's from New Jersey. Maybe he could do some research. Anyway,
And remember one thing, Honors. Most legend has a basis in fact.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at the Heavy Rebel Weekender in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Always having a good time here with about 100 bands and car shows, mud wrestling, wet wife beating, beater contests, I should say. Lots of general mayhem, PBRs, blood-soaked everything, and, of course, a lot of bands. Some of them are horror-related. Some of them are not. Had these guys on the last couple of years. Always a great interview. Robbie Whiplash, Matt Mayhem of the recently deceased. Guys, I hear you had one hell of a show last night.
Absolutely. Biggest crowd we've had at Heavy Rebel so far. Lots of stuff on fire. Robbie got up on my bass. He got his face split open by an open PBR can. It was the biggest PBR can this year. Actually, the past couple of years, I think.
Was it one of the tall boys, or just was it a regular old fool?
I have no idea. I was playing guitar and had hair on my face, and next thing I know, I was bleeding, and it kind of dazed me a little bit. I almost blacked out. I know I stopped playing for sure, but I know it hurt like hell. Whatever. But everybody thought it was fake.
Yeah, that was the funny thing. I had so many people come up to us afterwards and be like, dude, the fake blood thing. It was totally awesome with the show.
It was metal.
And it wasn't even fake. He was really
so
bleeding.
Brutal.
I've seen better makeup jobs than that. Come on now.
And when they got in my face, they're like, oh, shit, that's real. Yeah. Well, yeah,
if you look up the picture on Facebook, that is the face of rock and roll.
It looked like a face that was more in agony than anything else.
It's been smashed in by PBR cans, but at this point, it's been set on fire. Something about the recently deceased in my face, it doesn't work out too well for like everyone.
Robbie's face has had bad luck with the recently deceased gigs.
Speaking of the recently deceased, I understand you're about to break ground on yet another CD or album.
Yes, Robbie's been doing a lot of work with Omnislash, his metal band. I've been doing a lot of work with other bands touring. We're finally both at a point to where we can sit down, write and record a new album. So 2016, we will have a new recently deceased album.
And will there be a new nationwide tour of that?
Absolutely, yes. I know we've been talking about doing a worldwide tour with adding Europe and everything in there as soon as Robbie gets his passport situated.
Wasn't that the same thing last year we talked about?
There was, but...
I believe so.
Robbie's got to get his passport.
But everything is actually, the ball is in motion now, so it's going to happen.
And, of course, you know, the Big Scary Show would love to get all that news when you have dates and everything and all that.
Absolutely. Oh, and another thing, Froggy's Fog, we've been pimping their shit everywhere we go.
And everybody asks us about it, too, because we break it down to them, you know, when it comes out, usually fog like leaves a film on your gear, and then it makes it harder to breathe or has some kind of aroma. This fog has no aroma. It doesn't stick to your gear. It's low setting,
it
looks great in lasers,
and
it lingers. It's really good.
Yeah, and we don't have an endorsement with them.
I was going to say, I did not coach you guys to say that either.
No, that's
even though they are a fine sponsor of the Big Scary News.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and we have no affiliation with them. We just love their product. And
I know you've been mentioning them for a couple of years, so
yes,
we're glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So once again, for people interested in hearing more about the new CD coming out, the possible world tour coming out in 2016, and, of course, getting up good close-up and personal of Robbie's face here, who probably should go get stitches in that, but you never know. It'll leave a cool scar.
Yeah.
That's always metal, you know.
Yeah.
How can they get that information? Websites, social networks, Twitters, Facebook, all that crap.
It's facebook.com/therecentlydeceased and www.therecentlydeceased.com.
And as always, Matt Mayhem, Robbie Whiplash, always great to have you guys here on The Big Scary Show. We love your music. We play it all the time, and... as my daughter says, you're the kick-assest band there is out there. Actually, she doesn't say that because she's 11, but you are one of her very favorites. So once again, thank you. Check out the recently deceased down on all these social media sites, and look forward to seeing you guys back on the road and here next year at the Heavy Rebel Weekender in Winston-Salem. My name is Drew Badger, and I'm out.
The recently deceased. It walks. On the Big Scary Show. Reaching from the depths of hell, with a fury.
Greetings, Haunters, the unknown scare actor here. I'm putting a call out to the haunt community to help Shattered Nightmares in Terre Haute, Indiana. As many of you know, several weeks ago, Shattered Nightmares was completely destroyed by arson, and they need your help. They lost everything in the fire. Paco and crew have been working tirelessly to find a new location and rebuild. The outpouring of support that I saw at MHC from the vendors was overwhelming, but they aren't out of the woods yet. Please visit shatterednightmares.net, click on the link for the GoFundMe page, and every little bit helps, Haunters, whether it's $1, $5, $10, whatever you can do to help Paco and crew, they are going to appreciate it so much. And like a phoenix from the ashes, Shattered Nightmares will return. Thank you.
Greetings, Frighteners. Here we are in late June. Con season is, for all intent and purpose, done, but not just quite yet, but more on that in a bit. And we home haunters are now sweating it out in our garages, basements, and sheds, constructing who knows what to put up on our front lawns, porches, or wherever else we can find room. You could say we're making monsters, but I think Ed Edmonds might have some issues with that. What was that line from Mr. Karloff? Oh yes, I've created a monster. Actually, I think it was Colin Clive who did something like that, but forget it. And with all that in mind, this month we're continuing our series into the Universal Classics and beyond by taking a look into the mythos of Frankenstein, both the monster and his maker, and maybe a look into what they say about us. I doubt very much that Mary Shelley had even an inkling of the impact that she would have when she, her future husband Percy Shelley, and Lord Byron proposed a contest to see who could write the best horror story one stormy night in Switzerland in the early 1800s, and the results it would produce. The original novel, released in 1818, moves slow, but that does not diminish its impact. Gothic and romantic all at once, it has more than a few good jolts to it, and tackles the issue of man playing God like few other novels do. Oh, and for the record, the monster itself is far more than a lumbering brute here. He's clever, crafty, quite verbose, and exceedingly vindictive to boot. The first filmed adaptation of the book came in 1910, a 16-minute silent released by the Edison Company, yes, that Edison, and then in 1920 came the Italian silent, The Monster of Frankenstein, which has been lost to the ages. But both were forerunners of what was yet to come. In 1931, buoyed by the success of Dracula earlier that year, Universal set out to unleash yet another horror upon the country, and, well, I am certain you can figure the rest out. This is where the rubber meets the road. Between Boris Karloff's amazing pathos as the monster, Jack Pierce's iconic makeup, and James Whale's stellar direction, this is another of those legendary films that is permanently ingrained on our cultural subconscious. Oddly enough, Bela Lugosi was originally up to play the part of the monster, but turned it down as he would have had no dialogue, something that would haunt him in more ways than one in years to come. The team of Karloff, Pierce, and Whale would go on to produce two more films in the series, 1935's The Bride of Frankenstein and 1939's Son of Frankenstein, both held as nearly flawless in their execution and production. Son also featured Bela Lugosi as Igor, and he steals the movie. Even in the company of greats like Karloff and Basil Rathbone, Lugosi holds his own and gives a tour de force performance. By this point, Karloff had tired of the role of the monster, feeling there was nowhere to go but down from there, fearing his old friend would be reduced to the role of a lumbering brute, and surprisingly enough, history proved him right. The next film in the series, 1942's Ghost of Frankenstein, featured Lon Chaney Jr. in the role of the monster, and while he was adequate in the brute strength department, his characterization was pretty dumbed down from Karloff's. Still, Bela Lugosi's Igor was a delight to watch a second time, and at the end of the film, his brain ends up in the skull of the monster. Which leads us to Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman from 1943, with Lugosi in the role of the creature. For the most part. Bela was in his 60s by this point, and a lot of his action sequences were done by Eddie Parker, a stunt double. This film is a mess. Bela originally had a lot of dialogue, but it all hit the cutting room floor for some reason, making his performance look like a dazed klutz as the monster was rendered sightless in the prior film, and Lugosi tries to play off of that. This is also the movie that set the pace for the monster wandering around with his arms outstretched, moving slow and groping about listlessly. Glenn Strange, a sort of unknown cowboy actor at the time, took over the role in the next three and final Universal films, House of Frankenstein from 1944, House of Dracula from 1945, and, of course, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein from 1948. All three of these films helped establish the tradition of the Monster Rally movie, and the Abbott and Costello film stands as one of the, if not the, greatest horror comedy ever. But we'll delve into all of these at a later date. Strange is the second greatest of the Universal Frankensteins, all bulk and brute force, which he handles with great aplomb. Next to Karloff, his visage is the most associated in photos and likenesses around the character. If you watch the Universal films sequentially, you'll notice how the monster goes from a sympathetic, intelligent, albeit dangerous, misfit to a lumbering killing machine, usually someone's puppet. The horrors of World War II far eclipse the Baron's creature, leaving the once terrifying monster to little more than a sort of stooge. Moving forward, Hammer's Frankenstein films were very much a mixed bag, focusing more on the not-so-good doctor rather than the monster itself. Granted, they all had one thing in common, except in one case, that being the late Peter Cushing's amazing talents as the Baron, and the series did have its moments with some really interesting variations on the monster. For my money, the two best in the series were The Curse of Frankenstein, the first one from 1957, which featured Christopher Lee as the monster, and the sequel, The Revenge of Frankenstein. After that, I think it's a question of personal taste, really, because Cushing is flawless as the Baron every time, with the exception of 1970's Horror of Frankenstein, which he did not feature in, even if the scripts weren't all that hot in a lot of the sequels. One film that I always found fun was 1964's Evil of Frankenstein. As Hammer had made a deal with Universal to adopt Jack Pierce's makeup for this one film, albeit with notable modifications, but, also, this title is a bit of a misnomer. Every character in this film is particularly lecherous and slimy, except for the Baron. He's the most moral, compassionate, and caring of the entire cast. Go figure. The 1950s gave way to some really bad films bearing the Frankenstein name. Frankenstein 1970, the film appeared in 1958, featured Boris Karloff as the descendant of the doctor himself. Also, I Was a Teenage Frankenstein, a companion piece to the far superior I Was a Teenage Werewolf, more on this one later, and then the all-time turkey of Jesse James Meets Frankenstein's Daughter. Never heard of it? Good. You're better off. The 1960s monster craze brought us The Munsters, and with Fred Gwynne's Herman being a dead ringer for Frankenstein, well, all I can say is the show cemented the image of Jack Pierce's look ever deeper into our subconsciousness back then. Worthy of note also, just because it's so darn horrible, is 1971's Dracula vs. Frankenstein, which, in addition to a rather shoddy monster, featured the last on-screen appearances of both Lon Chaney Jr. and J. Carroll Nash, both very ill at the time, and it sadly shows. This one is considered a cult classic, and is good for a laugh if nothing else. In 1974, we got the made-for-TV movie Frankenstein, The True Story. It wasn't, by the way. But it is a good telling of the tale, although it deviates from the book considerably, it captures the vibe of Shelley's novel very well. And let's not forget in that same year Mel Brooks' brilliant Young Frankenstein. Not much more to say than if you have not seen this yet, do so immediately. Flashing forward to 1985, the film The Bride, with Jennifer Beals as the bride? Help! And yes, Sting, as the doctor, does work here. He's one of the film's saving graces, but just barely. I was never too sure of what they were trying to do here, but I left the theater on that one shaking my head a bit. 1994's Frankenstein with Robert De Niro as the creature was a wasted opportunity. This film has a lot going for it. De Niro is brilliant as the monster, but the lethargic pacing kills it. The 1997 TV miniseries House of Frankenstein features a rather faithful adaptation of Shelley's creation, and is well worth a look if you can find it. 2004's Van Helsing's interpretation of the monster was a bit more on the level with the original novel, with a distinct reference to both the Universal and Hammer films, and placed the creature in a much more heroic role. Recent films have seen some truly dismal takes on the monster. 2013's Frankenstein's Army, while it had some original ideas behind it, left you scratching your head at the end of all. Nice creature collection, though. 2014 saw Aaron Eckhart in the titular role of I. Frankenstein, a sort of monster as a superhero movie, and the less said about it, the better. And, just this year, a small-scale production titled Frankenstein vs. the Mummy, which had some moments, but unfortunately not much of a budget. Is there any hope for a decent Frankenstein film ever again? Part of me says no, but I think so. But if anyone is going to make this work, they really do need to take heed of both Universal and Hammer's catalogs, and keep it a period piece, too. Modernizing the monster just does not work. Still, a glimmer of hope lies in Showtime's recent Penny Dreadful series. If you haven't seen this, do so. A clever gathering of some classic characters a la The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but with a much more somber tone and pacing. The cast has included Dorian Gray, Mina Harker, lots of vampires with some none-too-subtle references to Count Dracula, allusions to Jack the Ripper, and Dr. Victor Frankenstein being beleaguered by his original creation. Wait, did I say original, perchance? The current season has them riffing on the Bride of Frankenstein motif, with lots of twists and turns, but hey, I'm not going to spoil it for y'all here. Go and check it out yourselves. In conclusion, what do the monster and the doctor say about us? Sure, there's always the bit about things not meant to be meddled with, but if you look deeper into the psychology, who is the man and who really is the monster? Next time we pick up this thread, we'll look into the plight of Larry Talbot and his carnivorous, lycanthropic lunar activities. I'm, of course, referring to the Wolfman and werewolves in general. Join us and gaze into the dark stare of the man-wolf as it's changed with the times, and it has remained surprisingly consistent, too. Take a peek at my Blogspot page, the Vicer's Halloween Haunt Journal. I've done a few posts recently, including a look into one of the premier commercial haunt review sites, The Scare Factor, and an in-depth look at my wife and my 10-year history of our own home haunts. As ever, if you want to start a conversation or drop me a request, you can reach me at ericbssh@gmail.com or just look me up on Facebook. On a final note, my wife Lisa and I will be attending Chicago Frights in Naperville, Illinois. The convention runs from July 17th to the 19th, but Lisa and I will only be there on Saturday the 18th due to time constrictions. If you happen to see us, feel free to come up and say hello. We're always open to meet new people. Next month, we're going to look into the realms of science fiction and take a look into the monsters of the long-running series Doctor Who and all the possibilities that are in for your haunt, home or otherwise. Trust me, Daleks and Cybermen notwithstanding, there's a lot to be mined here. And that wraps it up for now. Until next time, always remember Svengoolie's credo, who just had his 36th anniversary this past June 16th, and brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, and bite Mama goodnight, and always remember that I hid the body after Badger slipped me 20 in a six-pack. I'm cheap like that, what can I say? See everybody in 30 days.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com. Along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find Creepy Collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, you know we've been talking conventions all the way since the first of the year. We've kind of sort of come to the end of the convention season. We've been talking everything from HauntCon through HauntX through Transworld through West Coast through Midwest. We even talked on the brand new Chicago Frights, and we've thrown in a few horror conventions as well. Halloween Extreme is kind of a hybrid between the two, and there's one more out there that's really, really just exploded in, of all places, Los Angeles. Going into their third year, it is Scare LA. This one has been very intriguing since the moment it was announced. I've been looking at it on the radar, and this year I finally get to go to Los Angeles and check out Scare LA happening this August, coming up sooner than you think. So you better start getting your tickets now. But, of course, as we always do, we talk to somebody or somebodies who are involved in the convention. And I've got Laura Ivanova. I think I got that right.
And you David, did. Great job.
Thank you. And David Markland, also with Scare LA, all the way out in Southern California. Welcome, guys, to the Big Scary Show. Let's talk Scare LA.
All right.
In a nutshell, for people who've never heard of it or are intrigued by it and don't know much about it, give me the five W's, the who, what, where, when, and why about Scare LA this year for 2015.
Scare LA puts the final nail in the coffin of the summer here in Southern California. We are the summer Halloween convention on the West Coast, and we are taking place on August 8 and 9 this year at the Pasadena Convention Center. It's a brand new space for us this year, over 100,000 square feet of scare entertainment and tons of fun.
So what makes it such a big event? I mean, is it just the fact you're in Pasadena or Los Angeles with all the movie stars and all the celebrities and all that, or is it just something completely different?
I think for us, I mean, just Halloween is such a big holiday. It needs a big kickoff. So it just naturally, for us, it just feels like it has to be big. So the enthusiasm for Halloween that people in Southern California have, we've really tapped into and try to show that off. And people, you know, here love Halloween. So it's giant. We get a lot of support from all the haunted attractions in town and in surrounding cities. We have people, you know, from Santa Barbara all the way down to San Diego and all the way east to Las Vegas who come to Scare LA, from just attendees to people putting on presentations or teaching classes or vending. So we have a pretty large turnout. It's pretty rare I'll hear of a haunted attraction between, you know, in the L.A. greater Los Angeles area that's not represented at Scare LA, which we're very proud of. At the same time, if we ever hear of something that is not part of Scare LA that we haven't heard of before, we are both shocked and excited because it means, you know, we want more stuff, we want new stuff to bring in.
Now, you know, a lot of our listeners are out in the Midwest and the East Coast and the Northeast and the South and everything. You don't necessarily associate Los Angeles with being a really big mecca for haunted attractions. I mean, you've got the big theme park out there that we won't mention names, but, you know, everybody knows about those. But, you know, how big is the haunt scene or the haunted attraction scene in Southern California?
I think it's pretty big. I mean, I think it's different in that the people who do haunts around the Los Angeles area, we have a lot of people who work in the entertainment industry who really go all out for Halloween for their home haunts. And then, you know, we have some really high quality production values for our sets and our makeup as a result as well. So that makes it stand out really well.
Is it more of a home haunter type community out there, or do you have more of the quote unquote professional grade, pay money, go in and check it all out type haunts like you would see in Ohio or Michigan or something?
It seems to be, you know, a little bit of both. Or a lot of both. I haven't spent too much time, at least, you know, since I moved to L.A., in other communities to really check them out. You know, so I can't really do too much of a comparison, but it feels like a pretty good blend. You know, I know that there is some amazing stuff that's on the East Coast and in the Midwest, which I think, you know, I'd love to go check out sometime, but it's hard to compare.
Go ahead.
And we have a lot of very unique interactive experiences that are popping up, specifically on the West Coast. Actually, a big portion of our team travels around the country during the Halloween season to check out all the hot new attractions and kind of the new iterations of ones that have a solid name out there. But what we're seeing in L.A. is really kind of unique mashup of what you would say kind of the theme entertainment and film entertainment meeting interactive experiences, meeting theater shows. So it stretches really the envelope of what a haunted house is. Is it a haunted theater show? Is it a moving play? Is it a kind of a lone experience, if you will, for somebody to just go through and be scared out of their mind without their friends? So it's quite fascinating for us to see artists, filmmakers, haunters, and professional haunters coming together and creating these very unique combinations that every year surprise us with their new programs and iterations.
Do you bring in celebrities, like, you know, the people who've been in horror movies as well, or is it primarily haunted house owners and actors and vendors of that type? Can you go in and, say, buy an autograph from somebody who's, you know, who's played a Jason or some kind of a iconic character?
Well, I mean, one thing I think we've done different than a lot of conventions has been we really haven't made that a big part of the event. We've really focused on the people who create the films or create the haunted attractions, whether they're makeup designers or art directors or the writers. We really try to give them put them front and center, because that's the thing that anybody can come through and they can go off and learn from these people. So we bring in, you know, the people who, for everybody from, you know, Halloween Horror Nights to Knott's, the Scary Farm, we bring in their top designers and put them on stage. But at the same time, we do have, you know, we have some of our vendors will bring in celebrity guests to do autographs. We have Sid Haig and Bill Moseley from House of a Thousand Corpses who will be at the Girls and Corpses booth signing autographs all weekend. And then, you know, sometimes we'll get... some of the other vendors will also bring in guests at the last second as well, who are more celebrity-oriented. But we really try to make the event stand out by, instead of focusing on that, we try to focus on get people in, have them get their hands on stuff and make something, and make them the celebrity, make our guests a celebrity or learn how to go out and be a better haunter.
Oh, how nice. And what about as far as educational seminars? What kind of stuff do you offer?
We have
fantastic stuff, David. Do you want to go through it? I think we have over 50 classes that we have, at least in this year. So we have one of the most robust class schedules of any kind of horror or haunt convention out there. And the good news is that you don't necessarily pay individual fees to attend any of those classes. Once you register as a SCARE student at SCARE LA, you really have a chance to explore a variety of different tracks and learn anything from makeup, set, interactive, learn about Los Angeles and events that are happening on the West Coast. For example, one of our hit classes for this year is How to Trick or Treat Like a Badass, and that actually will be taught by David himself. But really, we try to find so many different angles for anybody that's either bringing their kids and wants to have some fun, wants to maybe surprise their friends with a better Halloween costume, or is really thinking about going pro in 2015 and beyond.
So you've got business tracks as well as makeup and sculpting and acting and things like that, too, it sounds like.
Yeah, I just look at scanning through our list right now. We have, and we're just going to plot some of the more unusual ones. We have, like, how to do 3D Dia de los Muertos makeup, you know, along with, like, gore and prosthetics being, you know, for amateurs or pros.
That's getting to be big these days.
Exactly. We have a class on how to do a ghost hunt, ghost investigation. So if people feel a little burnt out on learning how to do makeup or costuming, they can try something a little bit different. We have another class on how to do projection effects, another one on how to make a cauldron cake, and another one which looks really cool to me on how to do holiday lighting, like a holiday house lighting to, like, make your house into a show. So it really covers, you know, the full gamut of what Halloween can mean. But we know that our guests love the makeup and the costume and scare acting aspect, so we do have a lot on that.
Oh, very, very nice. What about as far as social activities? Are there tours? Will there be any behind the scenes? Will you be able to get out to any of the local haunts or any of the local theme parks to check out things? Or will there be a costume ball, or will there be socials and mixers and things like that?
We have a few. So I was going to say we have the Scare LA. That's the one thing LA doesn't have, and we're encouraging people to do, is we don't really have haunts that are open year-round that people can go check out that are really close. So we focus on the immediate area and what we can do there. So we do have a nighttime Saturday night party called the Bloody Ballroom. We have three bands that are going to be performing, Monte Revolta, Blood Drums, or Street Drum Corps Blood Drums, which is pretty popular. They tour at different theme parks. And then the Ghoul Master, who is big at Six Flags in New Jersey. He was a leading character there. He'll be one of our headliners as well, but he's moved out to L.A. But before the party itself, we do have a fun social activity, which Laura has more details on. It's a speed dating thing, but with a Scarlet twist.
We actually, what we do in Scarlet specifically is rather than taking the crowds to the haunts, we bring the haunts to the crowds. So we actually pride ourselves in our interactive and immersive entertainment. We have at least a dozen of actual on-site haunt experiences. These are specially produced for Scarlet by the top haunt production groups here in Los Angeles. Those are a mix of theater groups, concert, professional haunts, new haunts that are launching this year, and they're doing exclusive installations at Scarlet. In addition to that, we have quite a few other pieces of our program that are meant to get people engaged, involved, and meeting other Scare fans. One of them, as David mentioned, is the monster dating segment that we're going to be doing right before the party, which is kind of a murder mystery, meet your monster mate experience. We have an interactive zombie infection game, which is the first ever attempted in the world, that will be taking place over the entire span of the weekend, and the entire show floor of Scarlet. Attendees who are interested in participating can get a special interactive badge, which allows them to give them kind of the countdown before they become a full-on zombie. And then in the search of survival, they can, you know, find a healer, find a station that they can be protected in, and really act meet some fellows that might potentially save their lives during the convention days. We have also the first ever really interactive Dark Zone, which is a maze-style showcase of props and effects that really live in the dark. Attendees will have flashlights, and they'll be equipped with them as they enter the maze, which will allow them to explore different corners of it. And the lights themselves will change color and effects as they go through the space, really allowing them to show, to feature those scare moments in the best light possible. We will also be attempting a Guinness World Record of the largest number of people opening candy at the same time in partnership with Sweet and Sticky Candy here in Hollywood, who are creating custom special Scarlet candy for all of our guests that may taste like anything that they like orange and cinnamon and pumpkin and popcorn, or it could taste like blood and some other creepy things that might be in their little bag. So we just can't wait to see this all unfold and surprise all our guests with the interactive entertainment we have on site at Scarlet.
Sounds like a fun time, and if I'm correct, this was your big reveal week for Scare LA. You had a couple of a big announcements this week.
Yeah. We had a number of those. I'm trying to think of if I want to call any out specifically, but I can go through the whole list. But, you know, we're doing a – last year we did a whole presentation about the Haunted Mansion for their 45th anniversary, and we brought out Alice Davis, who is the – wife of the late Mark Davis, who's one of the lead designers on the Haunted Mansion. She was also involved in the production of it. And then also the guy who designed the Doom Buggy as well, he was there. Nice. And so that was a big hit. So this year we've kind of returned to the Haunted Mansion with a panel called The Legend of Disneyland's Hatbox Ghost. And we have Imagineer Doug Barnes is going to be there, along with some of a pretty cool lineup of other experts, including Tony Baxter. Sorry, I totally screwed that up. The Imagineer is Tony Baxter. Doug Barnes is with the he's going to be moderating. And then in addition to that, we have a panel where we've brought together all of the major theme parks from around Southern California that have haunts to bring a representative on stage, which is we're really excited about, just showing the true spirit of the haunt community here. So we have representatives from Six Flags Fright Fest, Queen Mary's Dark Harbor, Not Scary Farm, and Halloween Horror Nights on stage doing a presentation called Making Monsters of the Art of Terror. So it's going to be their art directors on stage. And Rick West, who's part of our production team and the editor of Theme Park Adventure, will be moderating. And then scanning down here, let's see what else do we have. A panel celebrating Simpsons Treehouse of Horror. Had its 25th anniversary last year. So we have a lineup of their writers, which so far include Jake Hogan and Mike Scully, who are some of the better-known writers from The Simpsons. They're going to be on stage, and we'll be announcing more writers and producers from that soon, and that's proven to be pretty popular. And any other big ones here we should be calling out, Laura?
Definitely American Horror Story. They will be bringing their entire creative team to talk about not only the costumes and looks that they create for the show, but also their entire artistic direction for each of their seasons. We each on the team have a different season when we think about what our favorite is, so we are very curious to learn about all the dark secrets behind how those horrors were created. We are bringing a panel for young haunters and horror professionals. We call it the New Blood, which really is the next generation in horror. These are people that are either teenagers or in very young stages of their horror career that will talk about some of the experience they've had, including one of the actors in the current Jurassic World movie that just opened a couple of weeks ago. We also are bringing four of the largest cosplayer communities here in Los Angeles of different flavors to really talk about what is it cosplay? What's cosplay about? It's kind of become a hot buzzword in the recent years. But there's really so many varieties and flavors that I think our attendees would love to learn about, ranging from kind of gore cosplay or dark, what we call dark cosplay, led by real guys. And others like Anime Expo, Labyrinth of Jared, which is more on the fantasy side, and Wasteland Weekend, which you can think of as like the Mad Max reality come to life. So nice. Coupled with that, we have a few of our kind of past favorites. We're bringing back the Extreme Haunt panel with their survivors this time. So now we are going to have the haunters that are really pushing the envelope on what haunting is be joined on stage with the people who have been through those experiences and can talk about the positive and possibly even negative effects of having been terrorized in their haunt. So we really have tried to open up the stage to a broad range of voices that are from the TV screen down to the haunters, down to the people and individuals that will really be leading the future of the haunt industry in the next years to come.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be just an amazing time in the greater Los Angeles area, Pasadena to be exact, August 8th and 9th of 2015. How can people sign up, get more information, maybe get on a mailing list or an email blast so they can get updates as they become available, get tickets, hotel information? The Pasadena Sheraton, I believe, is the host hotel. And basically anything regarding Scare LA 2015. What are the websites, social media sites where they can get all that information plus tickets?
Anybody that wants additional info on Scare LA can find us at www.scarela.com. You will find information about our tickets. You can register for our email list, which really is the best way to find out about new announcements coming up at Scare LA. Join us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and a lot of other channels. We're even streaming live in some of the walkthroughs that we do leading up to Scare LA. And as far as the direction of hotels, our room block in the Sheraton is almost being sold out, so we're actually going to be trying to add some rooms here in neighboring hotels in the Pasadena area. Everything is within 5 minutes walking distance. So for all of these guests traveling from out of town, we will be adding additional rooms for them in very convenient locations so they can rest assured that they can maximize this care and minimize the walking and commute to the Pasadena Convention Center.
Sounds like it's going to be an absolute blast. That happens to be my birthday weekend, and I'm celebrating it in Los Angeles at Scare LA this year. But looking at the clock on the wall, I do want to wrap this up saying thank you again to Laura Ivanova, one of those two.
Ivanova,
right.
We got it.
Ivanova, great. And David Markland out in the greater Los Angeles area talking Scare LA. Remember, www.scarela.com for everything Scare LA 2015. Thank you guys for taking the time to speak with us here on the Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. Well, it's 117 days till Halloween, or it's 113 days to Halloween, or 121, or 99, or 106 days. I don't know. All those memes are showing up on my social media feed, usually on the same day. All right, couple problems here. First of all, what are you, 5? We getting excited with a meme because there's 119 days till Halloween. News for you. News flash. If, you know, it's a haunt industry, Halloween, we're over. Halloween's done. When we get to Halloween, it's over. You're exhausted. You're tired. Everything's done. There's nothing more to do. You shouldn't be counting down to be excited for Halloween. You're just going to be disappointed. If you're doing this, if you're going, even if you're a home haunter, and you're only opening up on Halloween night, you're doing it wrong. People don't wait till Halloween to do haunted attractions and stuff. Your big time of season is the middle of the month. Haunted attractions for us, especially in Northeast, it's Columbus Day weekend. That's our biggest weekend. It's not Halloween night. Halloween night sucks. You get drunks and people who can't go to costume parties and stuff. And then your actors, they want to go enjoy Halloween, so half of them aren't going to show up anyway. You know, you can have fun and stuff with it, and you want to be open Halloween night, it is, but don't be counting down to it. It doesn't make sense. And then, if you really need to count down to it, do a Google search and find out exactly which freaking day it is. Because, you know, ooh, it's a nice picture and it's got a date. And hey, it's on the internet, must be true. Nah, getting annoyed with it, getting sick of it. If you're not at least going to do a Google search and find out how many days you're overly excited for, you're just going to drive me crazy. This is how people get unfollowed, or how people, you know, are not going to listen to your opinion if you give it on Halloween, if you're posting the wrong day to be excited for Halloween. Nah, be excited for October 1st. Be excited for September 28th. Be excited for when your schedule is to get done for your haunt, because it's on, people. It is the summer. You should be building. You should be ready. And things got to be 100% night one, or you didn't get it done. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out The Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble, committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions.
The Creepazoids, Dead by Dawn, on the Big Scary Show.
Everybody, Drew Badger here. We are live at the Heavy Rebel Weekender, chatting with bands and all the cool stuff therewith. Didn't get to see these guys this year because I had other schedule conflicts, so I missed them on Friday. Got here on Saturday, found out they're still hanging around. Saw them last year, and that's where just really, really enjoyed the hell out of them. The Creepazoids representing Richmond, Virginia. Got Derek here. How's it going, man?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Awesome.
Heard your set on Friday was a little bit... crazy might be a good word.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. It was way more beer and everything than expected from last year. Like, it just elevated, went 10 times better.
And last year was an amazing set and just crazy stuff. There was the rumor is there were full beer cans being thrown on stage and everything.
Yeah, there was a couple full ones, but people kind of knew what to do after they saw that guy doing that. So everything kind of took its place and he was gone.
So with a name like the Creepazoids, I can assume that, or people who have not heard of you can assume that you've got a slight horror tinge to some of your music?
Definitely. It's all based on horror movies, you know, Evil Dead, you know, They Live, like, the horror sci-fi, the whole genre. You know, it's what we're all into, but we don't like the title, because the horror title, because we don't want to be affiliated, like, Misfits kind of Elvis-y vocals and all that stuff.
There's nothing wrong with the Misfits, you know.
Yeah, but we're a totally different thing. Like, we all love Misfits. Like, everybody does. You can't really get around that. But we're just more rock and roll. All grew up playing punk rock.
But yet with a very distinct horror flair.
Yes. And catchy things, sing-alongs, real kind of, I don't know, a lot of surfy stuff.
Was there a lot of singing along on Friday?
Oh yeah, I was really impressed about how many people knew new lyrics and knew like all the changes were and how everything was going.
Excellent. So what's going on with the Creepazoids now? Any time soon you'll be heading back into the studio to record something new, or what's going on?
Hopefully the plan is the next couple of months. Then we've got Farmageddon coming up out in Wisconsin, Guarbecue back home in Richmond.
Oh, the Guarbecue is legendary.
Yeah, we're the hasn't been announced yet, but we're playing the after party at that should be pretty awesome.
Will that be at the new Guar themed restaurant?
No, Guar Bar is actually really tiny.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's no room for bands or anything. It's just one floor, real small room.
So where's the after party at the Guarbecue now?
This year I think they're talking about Hardywood, which is a big brewery, and they've been doing a lot of shows there. They just had Pig Destroyer and Iron Reagan play, so
Nice.
It's big enough to get bands like that to.
Yeah. What are the dates of Farmageddon and the Guarbecue, if you know them?
Farmageddon is August 6th through 9th, I think, out in Wisconsin. Put on with Goddamn Gallows and so many other huge bands.
Sure.
And Guarbecue is August...
Like a week or two later.
Yeah, it's the next weekend. I think the 15th or 16th is the Guarbecue.
In Richmond, and you can find out all that information just by Googling Farmageddon or Guarbecue, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any plans for a tour or anything like that?
Nothing too big. Just keep doing the weekend things like we do up and down the coast.
Including the Heavy Rebel Weekender, of course.
Always Heavy Rebel.
I'd like to have you guys back for a third year, obviously. For people interested in knowing more about the Creepazoids, maybe checking out their set at Farmageddon or the Barbecue or at a club hopefully near you on the East Coast, how can they get that information? Websites, social media, etc.
Creepazoids.com. It actually has the hyphens. Creep-A-Zoids.com. Creepazoids, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
Excellent. Derek, again, a pleasure having you here back at the Heavy Rebel. Hopefully you'll come back for years to come because everybody out here likes a good old-fashioned, straight-up horror-themed rock and roll band, even if they don't call themselves that. Once again, my name is Drew Badger here with the Creepazoids at the Heavy Rebel Weekender in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and we are out.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor. Videos and more. UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntstrom medalist Jerry Vane. Pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at JerryVane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger. Actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Big Scary Show. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.